Outside of Germany, the Habsburg position deteriorated in a very similar fashion. In the Netherlands, the war, which had resumed in 1621 between Spain and the Dutch Republic at the expiry of the 12-year truce, was going really very badly for Spain. The Dutch had been supported by French subsidies since the year 1624, and in the year 1628 they scored an unprecedented coup. The treasure of the Americas, the gold and silver from Mexico and Peru, was usually transported to Spain by naval convoys across the Atlantic. They were well protected, and for all of the efforts of pirates, they usually reached Spain safely. But in the year 1628, a Dutch fleet captured the entire Spanish treasure fleet. And since, as we've seen in earlier lectures, money was force, since most soldiers were mercenaries at this time, this allowed the Dutch to build up an absolutely enormous army. The Spanish army of Flanders was thrown completely on the defensive, and after this period, after 1628, the Dutch Republic would never face any serious threat, any serious military threat, from Spain. The power of Habsburg enemies loomed even larger in Italy, and here we mean France. There was yet another succession crisis. This seems to be a common feature of early modern European history. It's in part generated by the fact that given the heavy intermarriage of so many European aristocracies, people tended to become ultimately sterile and die without heirs. Another one of these cases happened in 1627. There's a small duchy in northern Italy, the Duchy of Mantua, again in a strategic location, and the last Duke of Mantua died childless in 1627. The problem was that the leading candidate, the person who had the best genealogical claim to the territory, was the French-born Duke of Nevers, who was bound to be an agent for Richelieu's influence in Italy. The Spanish chief minister at this time, the Count Duke of Olivares, therefore decided to gamble. He hoped that by sending Spanish troops into northern Italy, he could resolve the situation in Spain's favor, before the French could do anything, because, as I hope you'll recall from the previous lecture, France was at this point tied down by the Huguenot Rebellion, which had broken out in 1625. Unfortunately for the Spanish, the French managed to put their domestic affairs in order first. The last Huguenot fortress fell in October of 1628, before the Spanish could achieve a military solution in northern Italy, and this freed Cardinal Richelieu at last to intervene directly in this Duchy of Mantua. In February of 1629, a large French army crossed the Alps. Actually, in midwinter, it was quite the accomplishment. And Spain was now in real trouble. In fact, from 1629, we now find Spain appealing to Austria for help, which is a striking reversal since 1619-1620, when it was Spain who was bolstering the Austrian Habsburgs and able to hold them up. And when the Mantuan War finally did end in 1631, like a lot of these wars had dragged on and on and on, the outcome was an absolute disaster for Habsburg fortunes. In the first place, the French-born Duke of Nevers did end up with the Duchy of Mantua. Moreover, the French retained the key strategic fortress of Pinerolo on the Italian side of the Alps. It was one of the first times that the French had managed to gain a fortification on the Italian side of the Alps. Furthermore, not only did the diversion of resources seriously weaken the Spanish army of Flanders, now in a kind of crisis against its huge Dutch adversaries, but at the same time, the loss in the summer of 1630 of Wallenstein's army prevented any kind of decisive action on the Habsburgs' part against a small Swedish expeditionary force which had suddenly landed in Pomerania on the North German coast in July. We now then need to turn to Sweden, yet another actor getting in on the anti-Habsburg side of things. After Christian IV of Denmark had abandoned his intervention in Germany, this forced the Dutch, the French, and the Palatinate to look to Sweden as a replacement. Sweden was an officially Lutheran kingdom, and this therefore predisposed it to support the German princes. But there was also a rather more pragmatic consideration as well, and that is that, unlike its reputation in the contemporary world, Sweden was a fairly ferocious imperial power in the Baltic in the 17th century. King Gustavus Adolphus conquered Livonia in 1621, and a series of Prussian ports in the year 1626. Moreover, Sweden looked with extreme displeasure as the Habsburgs ground their way steadily north through Germany to the Baltic coast. Especially worrisome was something which was called the Grand Baltic Design, a Habsburg plan to establish a Spanish naval base and war fleet in the Baltic. From a Spanish point of view, it made perfect sense. A lot of Dutch commerce came from the Baltic. It was a way of kind of cutting off the flow of revenue to your enemy. But Sweden was extremely unlikely to look on this favorably. In fact, in 1628, Gustavus Adolphus of Sweden had already made a small incursion on the North German coast, But a large-scale intervention on the part of Sweden in the Holy Roman Empire was impeded by two factors. First of all, Sweden simply didn't have the money to do it. It didn't have the fiscal resources to put together the army.